Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. Is Vinnie's jokes. I mean, it's just... my God. And my very special guest joining me today is Professor Guy Hatchett. Say hello, Guy. And he's... Hi from Guy, the Professor-in-Chief over here in New Zealand, former biotech aficionado. And nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole raft of things that we're going to have to delete off of this YouTube stream and the Facebook stream as well. So if you want to view this episode at all later on, I want you to go to vinnieeastwood.com and click on Latest, and that's where we'll be archiving the show there on BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble. So when we are taking place with these rather censored episodes, we're going to have to ask for your patience there on these censored platforms. Now, the call-in number is 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. If you do want to call in and join in on the conversation, do want to remind people that this is a listener-supported broadcast. So if you go to vinnieeastwood.com, you will see there is the KiwiBank, PayPal, and Patreon for my band, Vinnie and the Vendettas, there available to you. And if you donate, you can request a guest on this show and we will send them an invite. You can have a private call with me. Let's say you've got a problem or some kind of media project or something like that you want to get off the ground, you need a little bit of help. But all donors have this access, and you also have access to the Secret Donors Club on Facebook. So all those secret and rewards are below, so you can just click on that link once you've donated and get all those details, folks. And I was talking to David Holden a little while ago. I tried to give him a call this morning, but he wasn't answering, from HoldenHealthcare.com. And Holden is a very well-noted naturopath with nearly 40 years experience in the field, and he's a specialist in hard-to-treat cases, particularly with regards to naturopathic oncology. So you've got people who are sick and they've gone through the rigmarole of the entire medical system and that's failed them. When doesn't it? But please go to HoldenHealthcare.com and check it out. And our last sponsor for today, Reopen.nz, is a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. If you are from New Zealand and you want to get that puppy on the air, go and do that, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Reopen.nz and add your freedom business today. Billy TK and I are looking for signatures as well on change.org. So just search up Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood and it should come up with this petition to free us from the 3 months in prison that we are facing. We have already been sentenced. We are currently on appeal. Billy's also making a documentary, riveroflies.co.nz, to expose this entire scamdemic, the River of Lies, the New Zealand scamdemic, an investigative documentary. So go to riveroflies.co.nz if you want to donate to help that out. And on the background of our arrest, click on the day democracy died blue banner on the homepage of vinnieeastwood.com, and you can watch the 30-minute documentary that we made about it. This takes us into our very special guest, Guy Hatchard. Guy, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Benny.
Can you tell us, we have a number of notes that we actually have here, so we're going to try and run through them as quick as we can in an efficient order. First of all, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now, you were talking to me about the manipulation of the UK government by the COVID Information Control Unit, operating closely with social media to censor any opposing voices during the pandemic. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sarah Connolly, the head of the COVID Disinformation Unit in the UK, has had to testify to MPs and revealed that The unit was in hourly contact with social media platforms asking them to take down content. And the criteria that they used was anything to do with vaccine adverse effects or any criticism of lockdown strategy should be immediately taken down. And 90% of all requests that they sent to social media were simply actioned immediately. So on the hour, using artificial intelligence to control access to particular individuals, and probably including yourself and myself, Vinny. Well, certainly including myself, I know that. And so they just were basically changing the whole process of science. Science is a process that goes ahead with discussion. I mean, they took down really senior academics in the UK who were sounding the alarm about the COVID vaccination of children, and stopping any kind of dissent. They were absolutely afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of science. And of course, the atmosphere that they created was flight or fight. It was panic.
I agree with you there, but many people are aware of fight or flight response, but they're not aware of the other three responses, which are freeze, submit, and attach.
Absolutely. Attach was the name of the game. You know, people love their rescuers. Here's a case of a 30-year-old social media personality, a woman. She has experienced a miscarriage. She's had the loss of her health with a disease affecting her reproductive system. Her husband has had a heart attack. But if you look on Twitter, hundreds of her followers have urged her to ignore anyone asking questions about vaccine safety. So she has become caught in a network of irrational responses and a reluctance to question the safety of this exit strategy. That exit strategy is another word for vaccine. She's a victim of disinformation, and she's not alone. There are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the world who've been caught in a web of misinformation. And
if I may, it's technically disinformation, because they're specifically I believe that the CIA coined this term disinformation because people kept accusing them of lying, and they're we don't lie, we engage in disinformation, okay, like
well, and you know, look around the world. What sort of denial are we in? Well, here in New Zealand, we had not a data leak. So a whistleblower came up and gave us an insight into the hospital data. Cardiac illness up 83%. Strokes up 25%, miscarriage and stillbirths up 25%, acute kidney injury up 40%. Now, the thing that's really interesting about New Zealand is we didn't have COVID until the very end of 2021. So we had almost a whole year where everybody was vaccinated, but we didn't have COVID. And in that year, this is when these alarming hospital statistics started to rise rapidly. So anyone who says, oh, well, this is all due to COVID, it's not really due to the vaccine, here in New Zealand, we can just prove it wrong.
And you can say and yes. And the problem is with people is, I believe Noam Chomsky used this term, concision, right? If you have to explain that, hey, guys, the government's trying to murder you, and they're lying to you about COVID in order to get you to take a soft kill bioweapon that'll kill you in 1,000 different ways so people don't figure out that it was the soft kill bioweapon that killed them. All right. Now, if I make that statement, I then have to qualify it. I then have to go into all this research and all this detail. Whereas on the news, if they say, oh my God, COVID's so bad, you better take a vaccine, they don't have to qualify it. So it fits within a very, very small soundbite, doesn't it? And because people's attention span has gone to nothing, people can't even listen to the explanation of the terrifying statement that I just gave.
Absolutely. People are in denial, and there's no wonder, really, because the airwaves are absolutely full of disinformation. Or actually, we should call them lies, but you know, we're very kind people, so we like to follow the government, don't we? So we just were subjected to a national interview on a popular national radio show, 9 to Noon, where we had Michael Spector. Michael Spector works for The New Yorker. He has a degree in English, and curiously, he was formerly the New York Times bureau chief in Moscow. And he has described the value of organic food and concerns about vaccine safety as fictions. And he wrote a very adoring biography of Fauci, in which he described him as the Enlightenment's human shield. So this was a guy who was interviewed on our radio show giving information to the public. And he gaily described the kind of things he was claiming were amazing. He was saying biotechnology is going to make us taller, and it's going to make us better able to play the cello. Now, if you know anything at all about biotechnology, you'll realize that there are some 300,000 genes that have been associated with how high you are. That means how tall you are. The idea that biotechnology is going to change 300,000 genes is, you know, it's a fantasy, but it's given rise to what's been called genetic essentialism, the belief that any miracle can be accomplished with biotechnology. And this has sucked people in. There's no doubt about it. The thing about biotech PR is that it's all about promises and potential and exciting new projects and cancer cures. They never tell you about all the failures. They're
Bill Gates's mosquitoes.
Yeah, Bill Gates's mosquitoes. You know, for 10 years, they've been making mosquitoes in South America, which are supposed to kill off the malaria problem. It hasn't worked. It's gone. It's been going on. They've been trying to put it into the U.S. now, but you never hear that it doesn't work. What you hear is loads and loads of articles saying how marvelous it all is.
Well, so these are like sterile mosquitoes or something like that, and they go out there, and the other mosquitoes don't want to shag them. They're just like, meh.
30 million, you know, at one point in one of the projects, Gates's company and a British company too, were releasing 30 million of these engineered mosquitoes a day. But more seriously, coming back to health, we have had the opposition party here called the National Party in New Zealand, which has just released its biotech policy.
Their biotech get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're no longer going to be in the dark ages, according to the National Party. So cows are going to scrum up their New Zealand engineered astroturf and stop burping climate change. Crops will yield fruits in every season. Pests lay down their lives in compliance. The sick will rise from their hospital beds in perfect health. Microplastics will be eaten by nanobugs. And we'll be living the good life, high on meat-free GE burgers. And crucially, according to the Collins and Luxon, the leaders of the National Party, we're all going to get rich quick.
Now, you used to work in biotech. And if there's any reason to believe that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, you told me that a lot of smaller operators are really, really struggling because it's an incredibly expensive industry.
It is incredibly expensive. You know, attempting to help the health of one person in with a crippling genetic disease can run into millions per person. This is never going to be a get healthy scheme. And in in the sector I was in, which is in food, the food sector, really bulk food for export, certifying food, testing food, and so on. The costs of biotech are huge, and small operators, small farmers can't comply. They and that's why you've seen this agglomeration. One of the reasons why you've seen an agglomeration of farms in America. You know, Bill Gates is the biggest farmer in America. He's the largest farmer in America. And that's not healthy, actually. You need diversity in every business, in every field of knowledge, every aspect of life. Life thrives through diversity. And once you get this massive monoculture of crops, once you get this massive agglomeration of finance in one hand, then the colossal mistakes can be made. Biotech's not that, cheap. Doesn't work.
Well, I mean, you're putting the world's food supply in the hands of a guy who's been cited publicly saying he wants to exterminate large amounts of the human race. So, you know, that just doesn't bode well. Hey, let's give this guy control over our food. Hey, what are you thinking? You know, there's this other element. We were talking about how they cite all these examples, these successes and things like that. And you said there was some girl who was got over cancer using gene therapy. They were holding her up.
There was a experiment which was publicized in 2022. There was a young girl, 13 years old in London, and she had leukemia. And a combination of gene therapy and traditional cancer treatments, bone marrow transplants. And currently, at the time the reports came out in mid-2022, she was declared free of cancer. So this is one person, and this is being cited all over the world as the reason to pour vast funds into biotechnology. Now, look into this case a little carefully. This young person was diagnosed with rapid onset leukemia in 2021. Now, 2021, now what else happened in 2021? I'd forget. Oh, yes. There were dozens of published studies reporting cross connections between leukemia, COVID-19 infection, and, believe it or not, mRNA COVID vaccination. Dozens of papers published. And so this girl came down.
What does the word leukemia mean? It means blood cancer, right?
It's a blood cancer. And it's being connected through these studies with the spike protein, possibly other aspects of the disease and so on. So
people don't even know what a spike protein is. You know, you say it to somebody on the street, they'll think it's a kind of, you know, some kind of pet food.
So there was one other thing I keep forgetting. I seem to remember that someone said that COVID-19 might have been created in a biotech lab. So this cancer, where did it come from, is the first question. And the other thing is, when you look at the trial, it's something in – it's not even a trial. It's one person. And the scientists at Great Ormond Street Hospital may start a follow-up trial involving 10 subjects, not hundreds of subjects, not thousands of people, because there are millions of people suffering from leukemia around the world. A very small trial. Now, this is a great outcome. It's wonderful.
Speaking of which, we do have a caller right here, but I'll let you finish your point first there, Guy.
The point I want to make is the long-term outcome is unsure in this case. Last week, I wrote an article reporting on a recent case of a young girl who underwent gene therapy, who sadly died. And that, unfortunately, is an outcome that is not rare. Mm. So this is not a magic bullet.
All right, we're going to get to our caller Andy in Texas after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at vinnieeastwood.com on republicbroadcasting.org.
Secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about having a good time while you're getting exterminated. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest is Guy Hatchard, Professor Guy Hatchard. Now, we do have a caller on the line there. I believe we had Andy in Texas. Have we got him on there?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
I can indeed.
Oh, we can.
Okay, fascinating conversation. You know, I really feel bad for Australia right now because Australia and that, you know, they were the epitome of the COVID-19 whatnot, you know.
Andy, I'm so sorry. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Could you be able to speak up there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yeah.
All right. Well, okay. It must be my headphones.
Beautiful. It's working now, man. Hey. Go for your life, brother.
All right. Hey, it's great to be alive. No, so my feelings go out to the Australian people simply because they went through a hell of a lot. And they allowed their guns to be taken from them. And which, in, you know, if you think about it a little bit, that's the reason why the hammer hasn't come down in the United States. These guys aren't ready for a war with the American people. However, if they do the hammer and they want to take the guns away from the people, there'll be several million people that will actually give their guns up because, you know, the government said it's for the better of the, you know, it'll be a bunch of liberal people or whatever. But the most of us, they... You know, there is the instinct of 1776. Whether that war came out the way it was actually told to us in history or whatnot, it doesn't matter. The instinct of that war. We fought for our freedom and stuff. And I think that's one thing that people are missing right now is that there is a human factor. And this human factor has everything to do with the survival of this nation, this human existence. I think it has everything to do with that.
I think you're right, and the whole instinct to survive sort of comes up, and what's interesting though is if you have a look at the amount of pharmaceutical drugs people are taking and the amount of entertainment that they're getting and what have you, and the amount of suicides that are happening, I'm starting to think that a good portion of the human race actually have a very tenuous grip on life itself. Like they don't value actually being alive, right? And this is something that we really need to think about, this, because it's sort of like a suicidal, nihilistic mentality that seems to be permeating throughout the consciousness of mankind. And it's sort of like I was standing on my deck last night, just looking out in the dark at all the lights of all the homes and houses and things as far as the eye could see, and was just thinking to myself, every single one of these houses and all of these families and all these people within them are currently under the control of some kind of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. You know, like even me, I'm still in that system. And what a terrible weight it is to know what we know.
It's it's a different kind of war that's going on at the moment. It's not a war. There are wars with guns, and of course, but the war we're seeing at the moment is, you know, every life begins with a single cell, and we have a new kind of weaponry now, which gets right inside the cell. The cell has the nucleus, which contains the genetic information, the membrane, which contains, you know, is the edge of the cell, and the cytoplasm. And the mRNA vaccines get into the cytoplasm and they put in a whole new set of instructions about what a cell should do. So they're altering life. It's transhumanism in a form that we never really imagined. And the critical thing that has been missed here is that there is a relationship between matter and consciousness, and that is contained in the cell. So the biological information, essential biological information, the genetic information and the genetic function stand at the interface between matter and consciousness. So anything that gets into the cell is going to affect us psychologically. It's going to change who we are. You know, if you have a transplant, say someone has a heart transplant, the body is always going to reject that those cells because they're different genetically. We have a very, you know, we have 37 trillion cells integrated together into one identity. That's unique. That's us. But suddenly, we've got a world where billions of people have been injected with the same genetic information. We've never had this situation before. It's completely unique. And then what are we seeing? We're seeing mass delusion in the world. Shared ideas that don't bear any relationship to fact. And this is a very unusual phenomenon. And it's going to change.
It's very
science.
Uncertain, you know. Absolutely. Yeah. That's what makes people afraid, is that that uncertainty in between the black and the white. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at VinnieEastwood.com. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Having a good time while it's all going down. And my very special guest is Dr. Guy Hatchard, and I believe we still have Alex on the line. Alex, are you there?
Well, I think it's Andy.
Andy, my bad, my bad.
No, that's all right. No. The one thing that really bothers me the most about what's going on in the world right now is that these people keep attacking us. I mean, look at the Arabs or whatever they used to burn those people in Australia there. They burnt them in a park. These people were protesting wearing masks. They're sitting in the park. They're on the grass. They're doing this. There's probably 1,000 people there, and they shot this stuff and burned these people. And some of these people, you know, spent an entire couple of days throwing up, couldn't barely keep water down.
We had similar weaponry being deployed in New Zealand as well. We had, I think, maybe even half a dozen people that I knew who went to the protest came back, including my partner Rebecca, was like sick as she's ever been in her life for like 3 to 6 weeks or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, but the thing that I'm trying to get at here is that even here in the United States, they've done some stupid stuff, not near as bad as New Zealand or Canada. For some reason, you guys are under that British rule, and apparently you guys got special treatment for getting really tortured. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, someday, some way, we're going to all fight back, but being in New Zealand or being in Australia, you guys have really have been the dove in the mine there, because you're showing us exactly what they want to do to us. And what's really cool is, other than the fact that you guys have never fought back, there's nothing fighting back. Every time they attack us, we never fight back. Every time they do anything to us, we never fight back. And reason being is just things like January 6th and stuff like that, or take the guns away after the New Zealand mosque shooting, blah, 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 or whatever. They stole everybody's guns or whatnot. And the saddest part is that you gave up your guns in that neighborhood, and that is really sad. And so I don't think that's going to happen in the United States. I think it's embedded a little bit further than most countries with these guns and stuff. But it's still futile to fight these people. And that's why they're so arrogant. That's why we're seeing all of this, we got some guy who thinks he's a woman as our health guy, and then we got some dude in charge of our nuclear warheads and whatnot. It's a bald, transvestite knucklehead.
Yeah, they're called transplants.
Yeah, but the thing is that they're being arrogant about it. And then they gave us bumbling Biden, and I use that. I think that's a Tom from Florida narrative. But no, it's a bumbling Biden. This guy doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground, and he falls down and he falls up apparently, and whatever. He's just, I mean. And they gave us a gay president. You know, Michael Robinson was Obama's husband. my wife. I mean, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So they've done all of this stuff. They gave us George W. Bush, the guy who said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on... Well, you just can't shame me, okay? You just can't fool me, okay? You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't even know how it said. And then he also said that it was just a GD piece of paper talking about the Constitution.
Yeah.
So, look at these people are arrogant. They are just arrogant. They've got everything they need. In their opinion, they got everything they need to keep you, me, and everybody else in line so as we don't step out of line.
Yeah.
And they really feel that, you know, with their little drones and stuff. Think about these little drones that Amazon's been flying around, dropping packages off and stuff and whatnot. Think about those drones with little missiles on them.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I mean, you can actually, I remember I went to a public meeting where they were talking about all sorts of EMF problems, you know, and the amount of cancer you get from continued exposure to Wi-Fi and things of that nature. And those of you listening who are living in apartments, go through your phone and have a look at how many Wi-Fi accesses, things that you don't have the password to, that are still currently irradiating you anyway. All right. And he said that there was a, you know, those robo vacuum cleaners, you know, the little ones that rove around on themselves.
Yeah.
Well, you can have attachments to them where they can have a webcam, so you can sign in on your phone and you can scroll around your house. And if there's an intruder, you can even have a taser gun on it. It's the vacuum cleaner that cleans up crime. Like, bro, there's so much stuff.
How convenient.
Yeah. I mean, and goodness knows, the government will probably be able to hack them so you lay sleeping in bed or making love to your wife or something like that, and they come in and buzz you.
Well, think of everybody who's ever went for this high-tech stuff, like that ring on the front door, you know, that's from Microsoft or whatever, Name your big product guy. But they got these cameras and stuff. And then Alexa, and you got all these other different computer animated things and stuff. How many ways till Tuesday? And people are thinking, hey, this is the greatest thing since Tuesday. I got high tech and whatnot. And so, but meanwhile, these things are just doing nothing but spying on them. So
that's right.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your time, Andy. And just before you go, there was a great meme my brother shared round, and a guy was sitting on his couch next to his girlfriend, and he was about to tell her something, and then he turns off his phone, and he turns off his Facebook, rather, and she goes, "Why are you doing that?" And he goes, "Well, I don't want Zuckerberg to hear us." And they laughed, and Siri laughed. And Alexa laughed.
Right on. That's a great way to end the call. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, brother. See you soon. Thank you. Go ahead, guy.
Well, it was interesting. You know, what we're in is a kind of a cult, really. And, you know, one thing we know about cults is that they don't end well. And if you think about it, well, who is actually ruling the world? Well, if I was asked to vote on that, I'd say it was the sunshine. I'd say it was the plants that feed us, the climate, and so on. It's natural law, the laws of nature, that are really in charge. You can't overcome the daily cycles, the monthly cycles, the seasonal rhythms, and so on. That's what we really depend on. And the biotechnology cult is aiming to change the way nature functions. And it's like biting the hand that feeds you. It's not going to end well. When we're in an interdependent web that has grown up over millions, hundreds of millions of years here on Earth. And we have our food sources, which we're acclimatized to. We have our routines. We have the operation of our body. If you're going to alter all of that, then it's not going to end well. It's actually suicidal. It's a suicide mission, what's going on at the moment.
Yeah. by eugenicists. I think they just freaking want to wipe us out so that they can rule over us, really, and have this little Delta class like in Brave New World. So there'll be all these vaccinated, borderline retarded people walking around doing all the manual jobs that all the alphas don't want to do. You know, it's just the demoralization as well is what really gets me, is that people just flat don't care anymore. You know, all the things that for hundreds, thousands of years people held sacred, you know, femininity, masculinity, family, decency, that they're just gone. You know, they're gone.
Everything is up for grabs. I was reading an article from Harvard University, their senior editor, Robert Schmerling. He was arguing that it is not possible or even practical for medical doctors to be guided by to do no harm, as the Hippocratic Oath suggests. So in other words, yeah, you can do anything, basically. Anything is up for grabs.
I mean, do they have, like, I don't know, a big portrait of Joseph Mengele on the medical boardroom or something like that? This is an idol.
It's basically, I mean, it just reminds you, doesn't it? Every time you turn the corner or open your newspaper, it just reminds you of that, you know, awful history from 1933 to 1945. And if you look at it in detail, the gradual oppression, heaping oppression on oppression, and the loosening of the moral structure of society, it's absolutely frightening. And there's one thing that the pandemic has done, that, you know, if there's one really big lie in the pandemic, is that, you know, that the whole world has been polarized, but it's not left or right. It's all the other traditional ideas that we have. It's basically vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And it's a huge public relations con that there's only one meaningful division in society. I have some friends who've got that, you know, who lost their jobs because of mandates and then eventually got their jobs back. But they're being ostracized at work.
Really?
Because they're different.
Are they perceived, you know, as being a threat? I mean,
yeah.
There's another thing. I know one of my mates, he said he now feels old after taking it, you know, and he felt young all his life. And then he takes it and it just feels old now. Just being like, we're taking vitality from people. And like, what was it, nearly 90% of people? 90% of people have had these things?
Absolutely.
And there's potential that's going to render them infertile as well. So we're talking about being, you know, the last breeding partners in the world and stuff like that. What Kevin Galilee once said to me is that, Vinny, in the future, the most common question you will hear when people start to date is, are you fertile?
Could be.
Because if not, there's no point even talking to you.
It's extraordinary how much all this is ignored, and it's a global problem. We're seeing excess deaths. That means more deaths than historically took place all over the world in highly vaccinated countries, without exception.
And those and no statistics are very, very watered down. I assume that the excess deaths are probably much, much higher. I don't know. Or is this just like an overall thing?
It's yeah, you're right. I mean, my field is statistics. I've done a lot of research, statistical research. And when you're dealing with data, the first thing that you always do is work out, has this been properly collected and tabulated? And just recently, there's been a scare about atrial fibrillation. That's the, you know, irregular heartbeat and there's been a 50% increase in the UK. And Dr. Claire Clegg, who is a National Health Service pathologist who was now retired, went back when this became a public thing and people suggested, well, look at the vaccine. she went back into the data and found that the data has just been systematically altered retrospectively. So that why would they do that? Why would we trust people if suddenly a national institution like the National Health Service alters their health data massively, retrospectively, without telling anyone they're doing it and without telling anyone why they're doing it once they're caught out? What is going on is, and it would be so easy to settle this question. All we need is to look at health records by vaccination status, age, and condition for deaths and hospitalizations, and it'll settle the matter instantly.
Yeah.
Now,
but if they want to surreptitiously exterminate the population, they might not be so willing to like give up that data.
Well, something great happened this week, you know, Unheard, which is on the YouTube channel. It's kind of a serious look at some of the questions about the pandemic. And the host there interviewed Richard Dawkins. So, right, he's one of the world's best known scientists, whether you like him or hate him, or it doesn't matter. But he was being interviewed and he was put on the spot. Because he very early on in the pandemic said, basically accused anyone who was unvaccinated of being a murderer and a killer. And he was on air, you can watch it. He admits that when he said those things, they didn't know much at all about COVID vaccine efficacy or safety. And more than that, he now admits they made the wrong call. So here's one of the world's leading scientists saying, we got it wrong. We said it was safe. We said it worked. It doesn't. We accused you of being murderers because you're not vaccinated. We put a moral, sort of blanket over you. But we got it wrong. And you watch him squirm when he's put on the spot like that. And his quotes come up. What he said at the time. But are people going to listen? Again, we come back to the fact that people love their rescuers. People feel that they've been rescued, but it's all a big con. And people are feeling ill. People are ill. People are dying. People are going to hospital, but no one's telling them what's really causing this. And that has to be the definition of a conspiracy. It's a dirty word, conspiracy, but
I mean, it's in the law books, you know, conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit fraud, you know, it's a legal term. And the technical definition of it is two or more people working together to harm somebody else or another group of people without them realizing it. So this definitely fits the definition. But then again, it means that conspiracy is kind of ubiquitous. I mean, if you've got brothers and sisters out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I remember my big brother Ben and my big sister Janine picking on my sister Marcia. They'd sit on either side of her on the table and go, look out, Marcy, Janine's going to steal some. And as she would cover her plate from Janine, Ben would help himself to the other side, right? And then they would switch. And Janine would go, look out, Mars, Ben's going to steal some. And as she covers from him, she'd take something from the other side of his plate. All right. So maybe I was born into the right circumstances to understand what conspiracy is and what it's really about and how ubiquitous it is, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll talk about that after the break at VinnieEastwood.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about being Mexican. My very special guest is Professor Guy Hatchard. Welcome back.
Hi. You were, we were kind of wondering before the break what, how do we get here? And you know, so I was thinking, what is intelligence? Intelligence is the capacity to separate truth from falsehood. And that's our intellect. It can separate truth from falsehood, but you can overrule your intellect. You can overrule truth. People do. If your ego gets out of hand, you can start to assert all kinds of falsehoods. And we're all kind of familiar with that conflict within ourselves.
Well, yeah, like the Ayn Rand quote, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yes. And I'm a big supporter of Ayurveda. It's the ancient health system in India. And they say that the fundamental cause of disease is called Pragyaparad, which is Sanskrit, but it literally means the mistake of the intellect is when you become so caught up in the outer material aspect of life that you lose touch with your inner self, then you're all wide open to disease. You're wide open to imbalance. So in Ayurveda, there are all kinds of things. There are herbs, different kinds of approaches, meditation, yoga, and so on, to restore balance to the individual. But what we're facing here is that the fundamental balance between individual consciousness and universal consciousness, between matter and consciousness, is being upset by these strings of genetic instructions which are being injected into people. So it's upsetting health. And it bids to upset our capacity to know the truth.
Yeah. I mean, people are just completely unaware of all these alternative, so-called alternative health practices, which are really just health practices that have not been sponsored by Rockefeller Medicine. You know, you say Ayurveda out there and nobody's even heard of it. Is that a Star Wars character? You know, you mentioned Reiki to someone and it's just like, oh yeah, I've got lots of spare leaves. You know, it's just, we're dealing with morons here. All right, if the media hadn't told them different, they'd think SARS-CoV-2 was a Serbian action film. All right, bro, it's out of control how stupid people are. And
it's a failure of education.
Yeah, well, they didn't get there by accident is the thing. I think it's actually the success of education that made them this freaking stupid. Although it's not education in true form, it would be more, if you had to give it a label, indoctrination into a cult.
Yes.
That's why I get you up early, have fluorescent lighting, mindless stuff that you have to do over and over again, trauma, separation from your loved ones, and all of that stuff. There's classic cult indoctrination techniques, and they do it to children. And what are those children going to grow up to be? They're going to be people who are damaged by a cult, you know? Welcome to the rest of your life, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy. All right. Sorry, guy, we don't have more time on this end of the broadcast, but if you stay off it, we'll be right back for those of you who are still listening on the live streams on YouTube for just a little bit while we wrap this up. Thank you very much, everybody, at republicbroadcasting.org for listening. Check it out at vinnyeastwood.com and donate today. Okay, and welcome back to the After Show broadcast. We've got a special guest, Guy Hatchard, here. Welcome back, Guy. So any last thoughts and closing statements?
I just feel that if it's a way out of this, it's somehow through natural law. It's through herbs. It's through meditation. It's through yoga. For hundreds of years, science has been trying to exclude consciousness from science. And it has to be put back in there now, because genetics is the interface between consciousness and matter. And that's, you know, if there's one fundamental mistake, then that's it. The failure to take life as a whole. So that's my final.
Well, it makes me think about epigenetics, the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton, who I've had on the show before. And I believe he said, like, it's gene expression can be controlled through meditation. It can change. Just an hour of meditation can change your gene expression by 1%, right?
Absolutely.
Now, that means you've got so much to unlock, all right? And you've just got to sit there and locksmith it, innit? How much potential is being wasted? Think about this. What's everybody doing with their days? Are they distracting themselves, entertaining themselves, or they're going to some job that doesn't mean anything just to get money to put food on the table or something like that? How many hours through the day are they operating less efficiently than they could be, less consciously than they could be, and are they wasting their own time? Are they wasting their own life? And thus, are they dragging everybody else down with them at the same time? Because they're part of society. They're running on this program and stuff like that. They're not contributing anything truly freeing and amazing to it. You know, not to talk myself or ourselves up any. But at the end of the day, people don't feel good when they don't feel like they've got a purpose. And I think being distracted by entertainment and being fans and things of that nature and just basic survival seems to be enough of a purpose to sustain people. And it's very sad because there's so much more to do.
Absolutely. There, it's a question of balance. You know, you live in a house and you can forget about the foundations, but if you don't take care of the foundation, in the long term, the house is going to fall down. And the foundation of life is consciousness. And if we don't start to develop our consciousness, to understand our consciousness, then our house is going to fall down. And we've had 400 years of science trying to ignore consciousness. We now know you can't formulate a consistent theory of physics without including consciousness. Well, it's even more true of biology. How on earth have we ended up with a science of biology that doesn't include consciousness? It's ridiculous. Biology is by definition has to do with consciousness. It's incomplete science. And now we're fiddling with it. We're fiddling with a person's genetics. And we have no idea what we're going to be doing, because we haven't understood the relationship between consciousness and matter, between, you know, how genetics succeeds in projecting human consciousness, human identity, human intelligence. So it's bound to fail. It's suicidal, as we said earlier on.
Yeah. Hey, what's this? I have no idea. It looks really dangerous, doesn't it? Yeah, mate. Should we mess with it? Yeah, all right, you twisted my arm. You know, it's just, come on. I'm just sick of it, man. And people can't just leave well enough alone. You know, you got two arms, two legs, 10 fingers, 10 toes, two eyes, two nostrils, mate. Yeah, then you're all right, okay? You don't have much to worry about. And this whole idea that I want to sort of give people is about the structure of reality, you know, and how it all feeds back into each other. You know, I might have told you this guy before, but I got told this one time on a show, you know, so Vinny, give it to us straight. Is the earth flat or is it round? And I went, I think it's a holographic fractal projection of collective consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. And they were like, whoa. And that's how I view reality. You know, holograms, basically, if I take a picture of a guy and put it on a hologram and try to delete it, can't delete it. It's still there. It's just half the resolution now when I try to delete it. You try to delete it again, it's still there, the whole picture of guy, just half the resolution again. And the hologram's attached to a fractal, which is basically if you look inside your cell, it'll be made up of all these other cells that are made up of all these other cells that are made up of all these other cells. The further in you zoom, the more different levels of civilizations you can find. And again, if you zoom out, you know, and you think of yourself as a cell and this planet being a much bigger one that you're on, and the galaxy a much bigger part that the Earth is a part of, and the universe being a much bigger part, and so on and so forth, infinitely up the scale, infinitely down, and it's all connected to a holographic matrix, which means that everything affects everything. It cannot ever be forgotten, and everything's just a smaller or larger version of something else. And when these guys did this double slit experiment, they had these two iron slots and a proton gun, so they're going to shoot this proton gun through those iron slots and see what happened. A little bit of tin foil, whatever, and they figure what was going to happen is just like, it's a gun, bang bang, right? It didn't. It went bang, went through the slot, and then went it turned into a waveform, and you know, had this kind of interesting pattern on the tinfoil. And they're like, whoa, let's put a camera on that slot, see how that happens. And it goes in, and they load the gun again. Bang, bang. They're like, hold on a second. The particle reacted differently because it was being watched. It got stage fright, right? And that means that a photon had consciousness. And if a photon has consciousness, that means everything does. Protons, neutrons, electrons, morons, all of them, you know? And you're experiencing this reality subjectively. You as Guy, me as Vinny, and the listeners as whoever you think you are. And what happens then when your consciousness gets employed is that each of your ideas and each of your actions get embedded into the holographic nature of reality, which affects every single one of the infinite civilizations that live within you and all of the infinite civilizations that you're a part of. Everything you are and everything you do affects all that is and can never be undone or forgotten. That's how important you are.
Absolutely. In Ayurveda, they say smriti, memory. You know, we are a sum total of what has gone before. What has gone before? This is what has emerged. And we're connected. And a biofield is not a field in the way that, say, gravity is a field, where, you know, you have an inverse square law. Further away that you are, then the weaker the field. In a biofield, we have become connected through our past actions. So it's more like quantum entanglement, where, as you say, everything that we have done has connected together, had connected us together, some things more than others. So a biofield is a very interesting thing. You know, we know from transplants that if you have an organ transplant, say heart, then your psychology is going to change. The way you think about it, you may start, you know, if you get the organ of a young man who liked riding motorcycles, you may start to ride motorcycles and drink beer. It's true. It's happened. It's biofields are, you know, we're starting to talk about intelligence when we start to talk about biofields, and that means consciousness. So it's a whole area that we have to begin to understand. And if there's one thing that the pandemic has to start ushering in, is an attempt to start to understand ourselves.
And many people do not actually possess the actual IQ to be able to do that. Like they physically don't actually possess the intelligence to be able to work these things out. I think my friend John was telling me that close to 85%, 90% of the population are 120 IQ and below. And what that means is if you're 20 IQ points above somebody else, the things that you can understand, the person beneath you literally could not understand. Their brain just won't process it because it can't. Now, if you're talking about 85% of the population is 120 or below, that means anything that's really genius, anything that's really awesome and stuff like that, they're incapable of understanding it or going with it. And I think maybe that's why cults and religions and all of this stuff started up, because they realized that there's a huge untapped resource out there of idiots they can lie to and get them to do stuff that benefits the institution.
Yeah, it's a it's a maze, isn't it? You know, you have to. But I think if you maintain your consciousness and the stability of your life, then you contribute to a better collective consciousness according to whatever ability that you have. There'll be all kinds of abilities, but you know, there's nothing either high nor lowly in the world of necessity. Someone's going to have to mend the shoes. People have a role in society, have a place in society, and everyone has an opportunity to grow, to evolve, wherever they are, wherever they start from, whatever their ability is. So that's, you know, that's life. We're on a journey and we're all in different places and we have a common interest. And I think that's one thing that the pandemic really destroyed, is the whole notion of common interest. You know, that we suddenly became two classes of people on some absolutely foolish pretext, whether you were vaccinated or not. Whereas in fact, we have common interest, but somehow or other, that higher moral sense that we all have to hang together disappeared during the pandemic. It disappeared. It was every man for himself and, you know, the devil take the hindmost. And, you know, if I have to clamber over someone and bash their head in to get out of here, I'm going to do it. These were not higher human instincts which have guided society. Somehow these injections did that. And how they did it? Well, we have to try and understand it. And we have, you know, you have to do research. You have to look to traditional values as well. You know, there are traditions all over the world that lay out what basic human relationships need to be to survive.
I was thinking about this for my book, is that there's a scene where something happens. Something really massive, something very, very terrifying for the entire human race. And one guy figured out why it was happening, and it was because of his profession. He was a historian, all right? That things had happened before. And because things had happened before, you've got examples of what to do and what not to do after it. Now, yes, we may be on the precipice of new technology and things of that nature, but that doesn't mean that the fundamental principles that have underlined the universe that were true when it began and will be true when it ends aren't true anymore. Just because you can do things doesn't mean they're in alignment with natural law. Just because a cell phone works doesn't mean it's good for you. And I think people have become so complacent and so comfortable because the people who run things have become very adept at advertising that kind of lifestyle and catering to it. And this makes us little more than domesticated animals. And we shouldn't be. We should be wild and free.
Yeah. Technology always requires the technologist. You're going to have to pay, as long as you're reliant on technology, you're going to have to pay a technologist. And a technology of consciousness doesn't rely on a technologist. Yeah, we have. I remember going to a lecture by Buckminster Fuller back in 1971, and he was saying, marvelous equipment. You know, that was That was his view of life. Marvelous equipment. You know, amazing. You can do anything you want. That was Buckminster Fuller. And that remains true today. We have far more ability and capability than we realize. We just have to have that subjective technology along with objective technology to realize that. I'm not anti-science. I'm a scientist. But, you know, you have to know the limitations of science, and you have to know the possibilities that exist, you know, outside of a very narrow view that people have developed in science. It's a narrow view of life.
Well, you're talking about scientific holisticism.
You have correct principles of logic and so on and so forth. And these are necessary. But you also have personal experience, and you also have tradition. And these, you know, for something to be really useful, it has to last the test of time. You have to be able to experience it, and it has to be rational. So all of these things. Excuse me. I think I have to move along, Vinny. It's been a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, go get yourself a rat test, bro. Oh, mate, always great having you on. We'll have you back on in a couple of months, mate. That's assuming I don't wind up in prison on the 31st of July.
Well, we're all rooting for you, Vinny. And I think it's notable that there hasn't been a real opportunity to cross-examine government witnesses in the courts yet in New Zealand. And I think once, if we can engineer that possibility, that we can actually cross-examine this government narrative, it'll just fall apart.
One can only hope. Guy Hanchard, everybody, the professor himself. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Now, wait. I've forgotten an important thing here. A bathtub does not work without a plug. Do you have wares that you need to get out there, bro?
HatchardReport.com and globe.global. That's our information network that we've set up, and we've just got HatchardReport.media as well, where we're having all our video and audio performances, if you like, or informational things. So go there, HatchardReport.com, you can sign up, globe.global, you can sign up, and we'll send you information sometimes almost daily, all the latest news, and you can support us through those platforms as well.
HatchardReport.com. Professor Guy Hatchard, thank you so much for your time, brother. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Benny.
Cheers.
Enjoy it. Cheers.
Catch ya. All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen, the Hatchard. And before we go, I do want to again remind people that this is a listener-supported show. And if you go to vinnyeastwood.com, you can check out why I was busted, and also how to help out in the Day Democracy Died banner, the big blue one there. Check out Billy's documentary project that he's making, The River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, an investigative documentary. You can go and donate on that. Check out the petition on change.org, Justice for Billy TK and Vinny East. We're trying to get ourselves up to 15,000 signatures next. We're currently at 11,399. So please, guys, help us share that out. A directory of anti-man mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand, reopen.nz is the website, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have a freedom business, go there and add your freedom business to it, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of adding healthy things, what was I talking about? Holden Healthcare .com, ladies and gentlemen. David Holden's been taking care of me. Kidney problems, adrenal fatigue, and liver problems. The adrenal fatigue's gone. The kidney problems are gone. And the liver was so bad that it's taking a bit longer to get rid of. But it is better, especially when I'm drinking all these detox teas and things like that, and not drinking coffee. Do I miss coffee? I think I do. I miss coffee. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to like I know a lot of you are coffee drinkers and what have you, but you know, when you're going to die, there's certain things you'd just be like, yeah, I could stop that, you know. But I do miss it. I miss the energy. I miss the enthusiasm. I feel very tired all the time. Like I need a coffee, you know. Like anyway, please donate at VinnieEastwood.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you can donate through PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon. And if you do so, make sure you click for the special rewards so you can get my phone number and whatnot. Check out my band, Vinny and the Vendettas, available at the Vendettas page on thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I do realize that things are very, very hard right now. You know, not just for me. Things are hard for so many of us, aren't they? You're getting persecuted all the time, getting called names, not being listened to. It takes a special breed to do this kind of work. And it is not easy. Because it takes the strongest people to be able to go through this. That's what the universe demands of us. It's what it demands of me. It's what it demands of you. You have to do these things, not because you want to, but because it's the right thing to do. You may not enjoy it, but make sure that you do spend some time, here or there, on a daily basis, to just relax, chill out, do something that makes you feel happy, okay? Because otherwise, you'll forget what you're fighting for. So, with that being said, thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. And I've completely forgotten the rest of my intro because I'm so tired because I don't have any coffee. The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. Here's Vinny's jokes. Seriously. God.